Hey lovely, welcome to the Truth and Transformation podcast. This is a podcast that is definitely not for children because it's a no BS podcast. So I will be swearing, we will be talking about all the things. So put your headphones on if you've got little ones around you. We will talk about family, we will talk about relationships, we will talk about sex, we will talk vulnerability, we will talk trauma, we will talk all the things. This is a self-love podcast so that you can start feeling damn good about you and your life. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for being here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today for Self-Love-tember, I've got Viola Hug here. Viola Hug was part of Self-Love-tember last year where we did it kind of live in the Choose to Rise Facebook group. But this year I wanted to get Viola involved with Self-Love-tember again, but via the podcast. Viola was my first guest last year for Self-Love-tember. And the reason for that is because Viola is just love. She's such an expander and I freaking love her. And I really feel like I wouldn't be where I am today without watching this woman just do the thing. Like, you've been such an expander. So Viola, how would you describe yourself and what you do? Tell everybody who you are, what you do, all the things.
I'm just like secretly crying over here. Oh my God, it makes me so happy. I love you. I think, it makes me really happy to hear that. The small role that I have had to play, that's so nice. Thank you. And hello to everyone listening. Oh, where do I even begin? I mean, if you had to put a label on it, I always say it's like warning contains more than just the label. But I call myself a psychic business coach. I kind of got here through a journey of a lot of ups and downs in my own personal life with mental health, with finances, with just this like deep desire my whole life, but not a lot to show for it for a very long time. You know, like I felt like I was doing all the right things. I felt like I was following like signs and like, I don't know, it felt like for a long, long time I was working and things weren't working. And then all of a sudden I had this click, like, I guess I look back and I call it a bit of my spiritual awakening now, even though I was still dabbling before, but when it really all clicked was at the like December, 2017, I'll never forget that month. And I decided to launch a coaching business. And then that's when everything kind of came together. Like I really finally understood the intuition that I've always had, which is to be able to connect with people's higher self, be able to see what's aligned for them to help expand them in the best way possible and the quickest way and the most aligned way. We use that word a lot, but I love that word because it's like alignment to me is like not just like, oh, it's aligned. It's like everything in your life gets to be for you. You know, you get to enjoy your relationship, your family, your friends, your purpose, your money, all of the things on the journey, not just like you're aligned with creating money, or you're not just aligned with having a business, you're aligned with living the best fucking life that you could ever imagine living. And I just dropped an F-bomb without asking if that was okay.
No, there's a lot of that on here. Okay.
Like very quickly, I started to see that when I really applied myself in a way where I was not following the rules of the system anymore and not following the rules of old paradigm business, but I was really leaning into my spirit team. I was really leaning into my intuition. I was really leaning into trusting my human design and like a couple of other components. I started to see results so quickly and I started to scale my business, and my business now just, you know, 2.5 years later is over $250,000 business. I've helped people all over the world step into their dream life and just be activated in a way that's like mind blowing, whether I've worked with them like really, really closely or just had like little moments here and there where I've touched their life. And it's been really beautiful to watch. And I did most of that while I was traveling the world. And now that was like, we were in Hawaii last time we did the Self-Love-tember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now I'm in a home, like we have a home in Canada and I have a baby. So, I mean, my life's evolved a lot in the past few years.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're such a powerhouse. And I must have discovered you quite early on. So you said it was like December 2017. So I don't know when I discovered you, but it was sometime 2018, I would say like springtime, I don't know. But I remember, like, I don't know how I came to be following you. Just all of a sudden, one day, you were just always in my feed. And I feel like that was divine intervention. Yeah, no, totally. because it really, you really expanded me to like, what's possible. And I feel like that's, like, you know, we have many purposes, but I feel like from an outside perspective looking in, that is one of your roles in the world, to expand mm-hmm. people to what's possible. Would you identify with that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel that very deeply. Like, even to myself, I do that. I'm like, wow, this is possible? Yes, it's possible. And I feel like there's a lot of things, like, I'm such a nerd when it comes to, like, human design and, like, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, there's so many parts of my human design as well that says that's my role in the world. I'm a manifestor. I'm here to initiate. I'm here to activate people. And where I get really excited is when people realize that they actually do get to have it all. Like, we are souls mm-hmm. here as humans to play, to experience, to just, like, have fun. And when I, like, really start to sink into that knowing and that belief, it just really does get to be everything that we want it to. And it doesn't mean that hard things don't happen. It doesn't mean that there's not challenge, but it's like a completely different way to approach life when you're centered in this, like, knowing that innately we are safe, you know, innately we are abundant, innately we are worthy anyway. And if that's the case, then how do we want to respond? How do we want to live our lives?
Yeah, I feel like you just, oh, it's such a role model for that, because when I started watching you, I think what really, so I had all these excuses that I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do and stuff. And I think I was very much in that's just life, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I know I hate that. Anyone says that, I'm like, no. But I think it's because, you know, I obviously saw people, you know, that, you know, people like Oprah and kind of like the kind of big names, and you can almost feel yourself like separate from them, even though, like, spiritual world they're not. And then I just saw you just one day, I don't know how, I don't know when I started following you, just start popping up, like, literally every day, like, doing my video. And you had, like, obviously, you know, you didn't have, like, you know, a massive audience or anything, which is, you know, all relative, but you, that didn't stop you showing, transforming lives, and really just start, like, you were just making more and more money, and, you know, like, but not just money, like, abundance. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just see, like you say, you get to have it all. And I think for a long time we tell ourselves these stories of we can't, but actually it's almost like we're scared to believe because of things that have happened in the past, because of conditioning. So for the, like, the woman or the dude listening right now, it's usually women that are like, yeah, that's all good and well, but life's not just like that. What would you say to that person?
I would say, you're wrong. No, I'm joking. I mean, I'm not joking, but I don't mean it that roughly, because, I mean, you're not wrong. It's, everyone has their own experience of their own life, which is fine. But you also get to know that you get to choose otherwise. You know, like, I had a time in my life where I thought everything was against me. I mean, it's pretty deep stuff, but I was in a very, very, very heavily depressed, anxious space. I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. I was so looking for anything to make me feel anything in my life when I was sort of in my late teens and early 20s. There was about a 5-year period after my dad passed away from cancer that I just really was not dealing with the grief. And I was looking, and, you know, I didn't see that at the time, but in hindsight, I was looking for any way that I could hurt myself. Like, it was very self-destructive, right? And it got to the point where I just could not be bothered with life anymore. Like, I literally thought, everything's against me. You know, like, I was living in New Zealand at the time because my mom made me move to New Zealand, you know, when I was 17, and I was so mad at her for that. And then she decided to move back to Canada with my sisters and left me in New Zealand by myself. I mean, granted, I was like 20, but still, I was mad. I was mad about it. And I was like, everyone leaves me, and my boyfriend broke up with me, and this happened, and that happened. And it was just like, everything just sucked. Like, everything sucked. And I like, I wrote about this in my book, but I have this one moment, and this always sticks out to me. It's one of those stories that just like gives me chills. And funny enough, I was standing in the freezer section at the grocery store, talking about chills, but I remember just like getting my groceries, like trying to make my $20 food budget go as far as possible. And I'm standing in the freezer section, and I like go to reach for the door to open the freezer. It was like one of those stand up doors. And I was like, why am I buying groceries when I don't even want to live anymore? You know, and I had this like moment where I think I scared myself enough for it to be a catalyst in my life. But I really had this moment that I thought, I no longer want to live. And it was serious this time, you know, like I'd had times of self-harm and things like that, but this was serious. Like I was serious when I thought that thought. And then it was like something broke up from in me. Like I describe it like this, but this is literally what it felt like, and all in a millisecond. And it felt like this, my whole soul cracked, and it felt like this light poured out of me. And it was like, you are not done yet. And that's what I heard. And that's what I felt in that moment. And I was like, what the heck? And I went home, and I don't remember the exact chain of events that happened, but essentially like I checked myself into counseling. I started watching TED Talks. I started like doing anything that I could to start shifting my mindset and shifting my energy. And like The Secret came to my mind, and I like watched The Secret, and this happened and that happened. And I was just like completely convinced of changing my life. And that's really where a lot of it changed for me. And the reason that I bring up this story is because I am a very happy person. I'm a very chill person. Like I really go through life, and from the outside it looks a lot like, you know, nothing really too shabby has happened or does happen to me. But I tell you what, like hard things still happen in my life. In my pregnancy, I had hyperemesis. I was sick for 9 months, throwing up almost every single day. I had gave birth in a pandemic. My birth did not go to plan. Like, you know, it was like all these things. And but I experience things so differently now. And so it's like when I started back then, when I started to change my thoughts, and I started to change what I believed was possible, and I started to believe that maybe there was something different. I don't know where this came from, God, the universe, like something was speaking through me though and into me. And I just decided then that I did not want to live in a life where I thought the world was against me. I did not want to live a life where I thought that I couldn't experience the things that I really truly desired to in my life. So it was really that moment I decided I either die or I do something amazing with my life. And oh, gives me chills.
Carry on. Keep going.
That was really it. I mean, it was like that moment that was everything. And that's, I mean, this is a very long-winded answer, but it's pouring through me. But it was that moment that I knew that I could do it. And years later transpired into this business that's created this lifestyle for me. You know, it took years, over 5 years or 7 years even from that point. Now that I am living this life, it's like, I now not only know to my soul, but I've seen it for myself. I've seen it for my clients. I've seen it so many times that I do not doubt it. There is not a fiber of doubt in my being. And I know I can be that example, like you've said, for people. And I know that I can really activate people into that shift for themselves as well. So, I mean, there's no fiber of my being that doubts it anymore. So it's like, you know, those, like, you see those memes when it's like, change my mind. Like cannot change my mind about this.
I love that you've shared that story and gone so deep, because obviously this podcast is called Truth and Transformation, and I feel like there'll be,
you know, sometimes we can be listening and be like, yeah, but I'm going through this or this and the other. And to kind of hear of, you know, some of your experiences and stuff, and that kind of like, I feel like sometimes that when we're, you know, in pain or we're suffering and stuff, those things can either consume us, or we can let them be, as you said, the catalyst, the pivotal moment, and really decide like, no, this is, you know, not how this is going to, you know, kind of end. And for me, it was kind of a similar experience where
I was basically just in this like really dark place. And I just was like, I guess kind of like looking for something, and I put on this kind of audio, and it was Danielle Laporte, and she said, sometimes you've just got to just choose to rise. And it was like this, that's it, which is why the group's called Choose to Rise. So I feel like if you're listening to this and, you know, you've been struggling or something's going on, it's like sometimes we have to realise that that's the moment, you know, to rise up and to change stuff. And sometimes I feel like we get pushed into doing it because otherwise we wouldn't.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I find so crazy about growth, because like kind of like flip siding it to when things are going really well, because there's also people like my husband's one of those people. He's like, he jokes, but he always says he wishes he had more trauma in his life so he had more motivation. Because he's had a pretty like sweet life, but that's fine. But like this happens as well, you know, like I've gone from this place where I needed to be motivated. When I was in six figures of debt, I was motivated to change my life financially, right? Like when I was in that really dark place, I was motivated to, like, because I was almost like the universe pushed me there. And then suddenly you get into this place where you're making really good money. I have an incredible husband, incredible baby, like things in my life are really great. What's the motivation now? Right? Like that's sometimes even the deeper, like the even next level question, because essentially I believe the universe is always trying to wake us up to what's possible, right? Because our souls are kind of like, we've come here to experience all the things. And so we're going to keep nudging you until you get it, because if you die and you were meant to do and you could have done all of these amazing things, it's going to be like, oh man, now I have to start all over again. Like, right? Like, so the universe is going to keep nudging you and whatever. But then before it gets that bad, or before it has to get to that place, like, can we get into a place where we're listening, we're being guided, we're trusting enough that we can skip and leap and kind of move through life in a very, very different way. And when we are met with a challenge, it's not as like, it doesn't pull us through the dirt as much, because we understand what it's there for, right? That's then a whole different level of growth and expansion.
Yeah, because I really feel like sometimes, as I say, we get pushed, but I also don't believe we have to keep suffering. And it is how you know, change the way you look at things. And, you know, whilst, you know, a trauma is nothing to be joked about, it's like, for me personally, having, you know, gone through trauma and stuff and suffered things in my childhood, you can either be like, my life never gets to be good because of this that happened, or you can be like, I'm going to use that as literally the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you can't keep running on that, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that's like, I really do believe that our like souls know what they're doing. They know what they're getting born into. And it's like interesting. I see it when I kind of bring my perspective higher, when I look at the world, especially what's going on in 2020 and, you know, whatever, it's just like this whole different perspective of the world.
Yeah.
I do believe that in order for things to heal, they have to be brought to the light, right? But in order for them to be brought to the light, they have to be first experienced. So if we're in a place right now of mass ascension, right, which I really do feel like that's the vibe, mass ascension and healing, even though it can sometimes not seem like that because there is still a lot of pain and there's a lot of things going on in the world. I mean, we really do in first world countries have it so much better than in some of the other countries that are still very, very like living like archaic traditions and those kinds of things still. And I mean, each to their own, whatever, but it, in terms of like the shift in consciousness to like love and light, as cheesy as that is, but really that kind of direction, just to kind of give a term to it. These things have to first be experienced in order to be brought to light. And I do believe that a lot of souls have come to Earth this time round and through this kind of generation, because they know that in order to really bring these things to light, they have to be in the experience of the trauma first, right? And it's I think what's really beautiful is that it's the opportunity for a lot of us to heal. So whether we're looking at it on a global scale or we're looking at it even within ourselves, it's like your soul has come here to heal that thing, of not only for your own soul and your own self, but for the planet. And that's fucking cool.
Yeah. How do you feel about polarities? Do you vibe with that?
With what?
Like polarities, like, you know, we know one because we know the other, because that's how I kind of see it.
Oh, yeah, like how I see that is like I talk about often how we have like our soul side and we have our human side, and our soul only knows one thing, right? And for it to know itself, it needs to experience the opposite of it, because it's like if you know the song I'm Blue, and if everything's blue, how do you know you're blue? You know what I mean? You only know you're blue because you see red or you see orange. And so that's really, I think, what a huge part of our human experience is about. And I think because, like I said earlier, our soul innately is safe, right? Like that is the truth. No matter what we're going through, our soul knows it's safe, because our soul doesn't come from this experience. It comes from a higher place. And so our soul knows it's safe innately, and so it wants to experience all facets of life. And I do believe, I mean, I very much believe in past lives and everything. I think that's why we have a lot of past lives and we have a lot of these experiences, because our soul's getting to know itself in every single angle and every single experience. So for me, I wake up with the deepest gratitude in my entire life. I didn't feel that when I was a kid. I was happy when I was a kid or in my teens or whatever, but I didn't feel this like earth-shattering gratitude for life that I feel now. Yeah. And I think that's because of what I've been through.
Yeah, that's why I asked you about polarities, because I really believe and sort of just that to me is just, yes, that so much. How did you get to this place? Because I know recently you've kind of just been, you've owned being like a psychic coach and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that something you always known, or is that, or deep down you knew but you didn't really own? Like, how did that play out?
Well, I'd say for the past few years, it's something for sure that I've known. And I mean, I've done readings for my clients since I first started taking on clients. So it's definitely something that's always been integrated in my work in this business, but it's definitely nothing that I knew, because I really did believe most of my life that psychic gifts, or, you know, clairvoyance or whatever you want to call it, was a gift that people were born with. You know, it's just like, you're his brown, you're his blonde, you're psychic, you're not, like, that's it. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But what I've come to realize is that we're all psychic, because we're all tapped into an energetic field. It's just some of us get to know that energy, some of us play with that energy and interact with that energy, so it becomes more clear. We recognize it easier, right? That's all it is. And so my whole life, I really, other than intuition of like, I go into a place and I know if I like it or I don't, or I meet someone and I'm like, I like you, or I'm like, you know, like that kind of intuition I knew I had, but I thought that was just like a gut instinct. I didn't really relate it to being a psychic gift, but little did I know that was all part of it. And then it wasn't until I mean, a few things happened, but essentially I met a couple of mentors, that psychic mentors, and through their guidance, I discovered my own psychicness, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
And here's what was so crazy about it, though. And this is like for anybody listening who's like, oh, I wish I was psychic. You are, for one. But two.
Yeah.
I realized the minute that my gifts unlocked, I realized I'd been receiving messages my whole fucking life. I just never noticed. I just never noticed. And that's true for every client I work with. Like one of my clients texted me yesterday, and she's highly intuitive, as all of us are. And she actually quite a lot follows intuition. And then only later she's like, oh yeah, like I guess that was intuitive guidance. I'm like, well, duh. Like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And she messaged me yesterday and she's like, oh my God, I just got this message from my guides. And damn, does it feel good just to recognize that and trust that I know that it's a message from my guides. And I'm like, yes, finally. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that's that. And then I had it kind of behind the scenes, and I kind of like talked about a little bit. You know, I often talk about being intuitive and I talk about being spiritual, and every now and then conversations about my guides or whatever would come up in conversation. But this year, like the mass ascension year, it was actually the week that we went into lockdown and I like kind of realized that this pandemic was actually like happening.
Yeah.
I kind of tuned into my guides because I was like, what should I be feeling about this? Like, what's my role in all of this? And they said, this is your time to rise. People need to hear your voice. And it was like all from a very spiritual perspective. They're like, you need to be doing more spiritual work. You need to be doing like, and I was just like, okay. And I slowly started bringing it out more and more and more. And it was just like, every time that I'd connect, they'd be so loud. They're like, no, you're psychic. You're psychic. And they kept saying that word and I was so resistant to it. And then finally I was just like, oh, fuck it. I'm psychic, guys.
Yeah, no, I really feel, we all are. And I really started realizing recently that I just thought, you know, random things would kind of come into my head. And now I realize I'm like, no, that's not random, because then I'll say it and people are like, oh my gosh, Kirsty, like you said that and that's what I needed. And that was the exact thing. And like I felt like you're talking right at me. And just, or I would do a meditation and just, you know, just crazy stuff, but also not crazy, of course, would kind of happen and stuff. And it wouldn't be planned. It's like, oh, you know, where did that come from? And it'd be a name or something. If somebody's kind of, I feel like that's often, you know, the missing piece of like doing the soul work, the spirit work. If somebody's kind of new to this, or not new, but wants to kind of deepen their kind of connection to their psychic abilities or intuition, where would you advise? I mean, obviously we're all different, but would you do past life work? Like what would you kind of...
Right. I mean, I honestly think the best place to start is in really trusting, creating a practice to trust and witness your intuition at play. So what I mean by that is, like I said before, I'd been psychic this whole time. I just wasn't realizing it. And my most strong gift is claircognizant, which means it's a clear knowing, which means it's just suddenly in my head. How could that possibly be intuition? It just popped into my head. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'd always have things like that. And then other people are like, what? No, that was just a weird tinkle, like niggle on my arm. That wasn't intuition. It's like, actually it was. Like, that's one of my clients. Yeah. She was, it's like, oh, I'm getting like this buzzing in my knee. And I'm like, what does it mean? And she's like, this. I'm like, wow. It's so funny. But yeah, so it's like creating a practice where you're recognizing it. You can do that through meditation. You can do that through journaling. You can do that through literally just like every time you get something that even possibly could be an intuition, being like, oh my gosh, this is intuition. If you've heard me talk about abundance, which I think we spoke about on your last self-love September, I said, notice everything when it comes to abundance. It's the exact same thing with intuition. It's like, the more you notice it, I call this process, like interacting with the energy you want to expand in your life, interacting with. So when you're interacting with your intuition, it expands. When you listen to your intuition, it heightens. When you act on your intuition, it's like a whole different ball game. So really creating some sort of practice where you're just like, or ritual or whatever, that you're like recognizing the intuition you receive. So if that's like, you feel like turning left instead of right, you go, that was intuition. How cool. Thank you. Like, that was intuition. If it's you're meditating and images come to mind, feelings come to mind, thoughts come to mind, just take note of them. You know, you don't even really need to do anything with them at the start, but take note of them. And that's really going to help expand your intuition and kind of make you more aware of how you may already be receiving messages. And then past life and inner child work is stuff that I really do love doing. I feel like, it's fun to play with. The only reason that I feel like, if you're still working on like really truly experiencing your intuition, sometimes it can be a lot of pressure to be like, oh, this is my past life or whatever, you know, because we can easily get in our head, even though it's so easy to access our past lives. And you'll know it's a past life because some sort of memory or some sort of image or feeling of someone you used to be will come to your head, and it will feel like a memory. Like, you won't be able to describe it, but you'll be like, I remember this in a weird way. And that's past life energy, right? So you'll know if that's the case, if you're willing to trust it. But that is really powerful, because I do feel like in this lifetime, currently, there are a lot of people whose gifts are suppressed because of fears from past lives for being open with their gifts, from, you know, how people used to get like abused or hung or burned or hanged.
I feel I've had that experience, like truly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had like, I mean, I've never had any burn at the stake past lives come up for me, but I've had like torture ones and like really horrific things come up, and a lot of it with my throat chakra especially. So it's like very, very interesting how recognizing that can be really healing. You can do past life healings through that, which again, like you don't even need to get super in your head about it. There are really deeper practices that you can do, but you can literally heal a past life by when that visualization of that life comes up, or even if you don't even know if you have a visualization of that life, you just have this like, I think I've had a past life where that's happened, you know, just that feeling. You can speak to that version of yourself. You can actually say things like reminding her that she is now in a time where that's accepted, that's praise, that's, you know, we're coming back full circle to what it used to be like. And then you can also ask what she needs to feel safe to express her gifts. You can also imagine her with a different ending to her story, him or her, you know, however it comes through. And that those practices can all be really, really powerful. And it's just kind of like we can interact with that past version of ourself and create a space where they feel safe. And it's really beautiful and, you know, emotional and all these things. But that might come up for you. It might not. But whether it does or not doesn't mean that you aren't able to access your gifts. You still can access them in this lifetime without needing to do that work.
Oh, I love that you brought that up, because you know, like you do oracle cards and stuff, and past life stuff kept coming up for me, and I was like, oh, I know, and it kept saying that, you know, it wasn't safe in your past life and stuff, and I was like, okay, and it was like heal past life stuff, and I was like, but how? So of course we're having this conversation.
Yeah, it really, like, allow yourself just to play with it a little bit. Like it's like one, creating the space for them to feel safe, but also asking what they need to feel safe can be really powerful, because a lot of the time it's your next level. So if it's a next level with your gift, it's like, what do you need to feel safe to express this gift again? Here's the coolest thing about past lives though. And this is like when I work with inner child, when I work with past lives, I actually work with this polarity. We heal a lot about past life healing. We hear a lot about past life wounds, and they're very, very real. It's not to dismiss those, and there's work to be done there. However, past lives also carry gifts. Like what you learned in that lifetime is part of how your soul's evolved into your experience in this lifetime. And so what's really cool is we can also play around with accessing gifts from our past lives, which is a lot of fun. We can also play around with like ancestral stuff, whether it's past life or actual lineage stuff. We can, you know, ask to have gifts reactivated that at some point in time were laid dormant because it was not safe to have them. And we can really start playing with magic when we get into those zones.
Oh my gosh, I love that you brought all this up, because I feel like when you were just saying about next level, every time I'm like stepping into my next level, I almost have this like freak out and my nervous system gets activated, and I feel like that's you know, normal. I feel like, you know, you know, it is uncomfortable at times when we're kind of going for something we've never done before, and I think this doesn't get talked about enough. But what I often see is that's when people's like kind of go stop and kind of go, oh, I must be doing something wrong because it feels uncomfortable and stuff. So for me, I was fully aware of it, but I was like, I just don't fully know how to stop it happening. And then I say past life kept coming up, and I was like, but how? I don't know how that looks. So
manifested.
Yeah, I manifest it. And you were just talking about throat chakra as well, and that has came up for me literally recently. The last few days was like deep throat chakra stuff, so of course you've just spoken about
that. Oh, it's really fun with throat chakra as well, is like I mean, like the reason that I'm also like this or that, like I'm a little bit wishy-washy sometimes about this stuff, not because it's a wishy-washy practice or anything, but I really truly believe there's no rules to how you can heal, right? Like I believe you can heal in an instant. And I also believe for other people, it takes a little bit of time because things are deep. There's multiple layers. And also I believe that when we heal something, a new version of that wound may present itself at our next level again. You know what I mean? It's like we healed what we need to heal for this version, but then there's more. So There's like, you know, so many different angles to look at it. And so these are like fun practices you can try, but it's also not the end all be all. And it also doesn't need to be this intense. It can be easier. And it might even be you need to practice this for a long time before you have results. But with throat chakra, if you like in meditation, just like bring light to your throat and then just allow yourself to start like either humming or or like sing, or like, you know, just kind of start activating the throat through just little sounds. If what just like let intuitively come through, that's really powerful for activating. And I also do this practice where I literally imagine pulling junk out of it. Like I physically with my hands, like pull things out of my throat. Like imagine I do. Or unraveling. Like I know I had a big one about unraveling. It felt like, you know, there was rope around my neck. So I was unraveling it with my, actually physically with my hands, imagining doing it. And so those kinds of practices are really good too for throat chakra.
Oh my gosh, I've totally just manifested this whole thing, which I trust if you're listening, then you manifested this conversation too, because again, I was listening to Throat Chakra and they said the same, they said the humming as well. And I was just like, oh, feels like the universe is going, come on, here we go. Listen, I've said it twice now. Mm-hmm. So now I want to go back to last September, because last September, as I say, you were the first guest. You hadn't had Milo yet, so you're a new mum, if anybody doesn't know. As you say, you've got a home now where you were a digital nomad last year. So is what's kind of been the big sort of, has there been any kind of big lessons, things that you didn't know last year that have really been profound this year?
Yeah, it's like, for me, it's been multi-layered, but I mentioned before my pregnancy was hard. Like I say that on one perspective, but I actually like disclaimer, loved every part of my pregnancy. Like I really loved being pregnant. I just, every day my mind was blown at how awesome it is. Like I just, it still blows my mind. And every time I look at him, I'm like, wait, where did he come from? Like, how did this happen? I don't comprehend. Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. But, you know, like I was like doing really well in my business and we were traveling the world and there was just like all these amazing things. And then it was like, I get pregnant. I'm throwing up like 30 times a day. Like I actually, I knew I was pregnant last self-love.
Yeah. You hadn't announced it yet.
I hadn't announced it. And that was just when the morning sickness had started and I thought it would just like be easy. No, it was not easy. It was horrible. And I mean, by the second trimester, I was only throwing up like a couple of times a day instead of like 10 to 30 times a day. But that was huge for me because I realized how much my belief, as much as I'd shed this belief, there was still a very, very, very big part of me that thought that my energy, my mood, and what I did were the main things that determined my results, right? Because up until that point, I'm a very healthy person. Like I can just be full of energy. I can work as long as I want. I can, you know, whatever. Like it was just very easy for me to do that. And I had to learn through the start of my business that work doesn't get results, especially for me and how my energy type works. I needed to learn how to work with my urges and then relax and how to turn off and how to create space for new creations to come through and that kind of thing. And I thought I was nailing it, but it wasn't until I was that sick that I realized how much my beliefs were still attached to that. So it was such a deeper experience of surrender. And then really, like I moved into this very feminine place where I was just allowing things to happen without almost any masculine energy, you know, like I was just very in this like super receptive mode, but it was all I could do, like truly. And so I really had to work on my beliefs around what that meant about my possibility to make money, my possibility for this, you know, I'm the breadwinner for my family. So there was also like a little bit of pressure there, but being able to step into next level trust and surrender with that was huge. And then as soon as I kind of started to really believe that and trust that and integrate that new belief, that's when I felt safe again to start bringing in a little bit more of that masculine energy. And then that's when I started seeing like really, really cool things happen in my business towards the end of my pregnancy. And that's when like the spiritual awakening stuff was like the next level spiritual awakening for me this year really was happening. So that was a very, very huge thing. And, I talk about it a lot. I'm like, I'm here for the vibe of like the standard of working less and making more always, especially if you're a mum. Now that I know what it's like being a mum, I'm like, yes, your time I'm is so fucking it. Valuable. Like, it is when your mum time is compounded. It's like if you work an hour, it's worth 10 hours of work, really. And I don't mean like work less as in have less to contribute. I mean that your energy is so fucking potent that when you show up, it shakes the world in the best possible way, yeah. And you are compensated there because of that, you know. And so that's a lot of this energy work. So anyway, I've had a lot of play with that. I feel like there was probably some other things, but that's kind of the main thing that comes to mind.
I love that because I realized that the surrender was where it's at. My ego didn't like it. It really freaked out.
Oh yeah, the ego really does not like surrender.
It does not. It really argued with it and I was like, what are you doing? You're gonna lose it all. It was very dramatic. Oh, yeah. But what I realized, the pushing actually didn't get me any like more result, if anything, the alternative. And when I would surrender and let go and play, you know, I got the sale or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and you need the balance, right? Like, you can work, but you need the space as well to allow the creativity and whatever needs to drop in to drop in. Yeah
totally. Yeah, that whole like responding thing. But yeah, I really like struggled to kind of get that. As I say, my ego was like, what are you doing? So that's, I think that I'm so down for that, you know, especially being a mom, as you say, you know, work less, have more. And I think we can struggle to trust that. And one of the things that I when the kind of pandemic, you know, happened and all the schools were closed and stuff and people were like, oh, we have more time than ever, and I'm like, I don't, I've got two kids at home, like I didn't plan for this in my schedule and I'm trying to run a business, and having to surrender to that. And actually my business has grown more,
of course.
It just goes to show. And it took me a while to kind of like, it's fine and trust that and really navigate. And I had to like tear down so many things. Like, yeah, you know, I would do like a weekly live and all these things. And now it's just like, I think the structure, the masculine can be really good for us, but not if it comes from a place of we should do that. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, things happened this year and stuff, I had to just get rid of all those shoulds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like we have like a relationship, like sometimes we can be an overdrive masculine and then we can be an overdrive feminine and then we can like, you know, we get into this like swing. But really, I think where it's most powerful is when we allow ourselves to be led by the feminine, which essentially means that we allow ourselves to be led by our intuition. We allow that to inspire us to come up with the ideas to like have the intuition come through. But the masculine creates the framework for that. So how I often work with my masculine energy is like, rather than just being like, I'm just going to wait till I feel like it, because that's not always a very productive thought.
No.
It's not, I'm going to wait till I feel like it, but I'm going to be like, there's a part of me that wants to do it, but I only want to do it in a way that feels good, right? That's allowed. Yeah. And so if I want to do it in a way that feels good, what could I do for myself today so I'm in an energy to receive the exact inspiration I need to show up and share my message? Right?
Yeah.
Ooh, that feels way better. Not like, oh, I'm going to wait till I feel like it, or I have to do it even if I don't feel like it. It's like, no, you want to do it in a way that feels good. So how can you create that space for that to be possible?
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, you might not feel like doing something, but actually deep down, you know, you want it. And it's just fears came up and stuff. So sometimes I think actually taking the action is actually really self-loving. But like you say, it's finding it in a way of making it fun and playful rather than I need to do this, I should do this, like that, you know, trying to make it happen sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's Self-Love-tember. Talk to me about self-love, how you define it, what's been really good for you.
Oh my goodness. I feel like a big part of my self-love journey is really like, there's like, I really have a love for the human, like in a way, like when I look at, I always talk about, there's like three perspectives. There's the soul, there's the human, there's the neutral place. And when I'm like in this neutral place and I'm like looking at my soul, I'm like, yeah, you're amazing, you can do whatever. But I have this like special love for the human, because I feel like the human is the one where we experience our emotion. It's the one where we experience fear. And And even on a physical level, like the actual human body, like I fell in love with the human body already when I did my Bachelor of Science, because it is literally the most mind-blowing thing in the entire universe. It's so cool to have a body. It is so cool. And so I like, self-love for me has been a lot about like really starting to have more compassion with myself, because I understand that, you know, again, like from this neutral perspective, that our human is just, it's scared. It doesn't know the way. It's like, you know, not in a condescending way, but it is a little bit like a child that we have to remind it's safe. You know, it's safe to jump off the bed into our arms. We're right here, you know, or it's safe to try new things or to experiment or to play. And, that has allowed me a level of compassion for myself that I believe is one of the biggest things that keeps me in quote unquote alignment, because I no longer beat myself up. If I'm not doing the thing, or if I'm having an emotion, or if I'm having this, or I'm having that, I'm just like, I always get to be in alignment with my desires. I always get to be magnetizing the results that I want, as long as I remember that if I'm nurtured, I'm taking care of what I need, I'm in the right energy, right? Yeah. And some days that looks like me working, doing podcasts, doing lives, like sharing my message. Some days that looks like me on the couch. Some days that looks like just having fun with Milo. Sometimes that looks like having intimacy with my husband. Like it means something different all of the time. And that's for sure the biggest thing. And then there's been like just a super quick side note, but since like having my baby as well, there's been an interesting like shift and playfulness of exploring new intimacy with myself, even, you know, with my new body and my new vibe. And it's like my new appreciation for my body, but also there was a part of me that felt a little bit disconnected from my body too. So that's been how I've been sort of playing with self-love a little bit more.
Oh, I love that. So beautiful. I love that you've added that. Yeah, I feel like that's super, super powerful. So obviously we could talk about so much with you, but I want to be really respectful of your time because you've got a baby and all the things. Is there anything you want to talk about? Because you talk about abundance, psychic powers, like you talk about all the things. Is there anything you want to share, anything that's coming up for you? Obviously you've got an amazing podcast.
I do. I have an awesome podcast. I have an awesome Facebook group. I have awesome everything.
Your Facebook group is amazing. I love it.
Thank you. I mean, there's so much that I could talk about, but really I think like a big thing that I'm just so passionate about is that the quantum leap, you know, like it's experiencing those next level results that do not make logical sense, that are just like, what the F just happened to my life, are so possible. And I mean that not from a place of like, it's possible. I mean, like I see it all the fucking time. Like I see so many of my clients, I've seen myself go from a place where it doesn't even make sense to even consider doing this, to, oh, this is just my norm now and I 10 times it on the daily. Like that's just life, you know, and whatever aspect you're talking about, whether that be money, business, relationships, intuition, whatever. And that is so possible. And I have so much fun playing with people's uniqueness to get them there as well, because I do believe that we all have our unique way. Like you don't need to feel pressured into doing it in the system of somebody else. You don't need to copy what someone else does. You have your own unique success blueprint. And I personally work with human design and like the soul intuitive part, and then tying that all, like marrying that with actual business strategy to make that possible. And it's so much fun.
Oh, I love that. So I will put all your details in the show notes. If you're listening, do check out Viola's stuff, because she's just freaking amazing.
She's my favorite, by the way. So come hang out with me there at Viola. Yeah.
At Viola. Yeah, check out the Instagram.
I've recently started Reels. So okay. I mean, they're pretty cool. Have you seen my Reels?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I will have to check this out.
They're fun.
I will check them out. I'm feeling the vibe. So final quick fire thing. If there's something coming through for you now that you would love to share with the audience that's listening, what would it be? What would your message be?
My message is that thing that you actually in your heart already know is possible for you, but you haven't admitted to yourself that you really, really want it. Align yourself with that rather than whatever other goal you're telling yourself is the one that you want, because that's the one that's going to expand you fully. And it doesn't mean that you don't get to celebrate all the other milestones on the way to the big one, but it means that that one, if you really allow yourself to say, I'm the person who achieves this in my life, which is why you have the desire, you will be expanded in a way that will activate you so much more than the smaller level goals and visions.
Oh, powerful. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Violet. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you for hanging with me and giving me your time, and everyone who listens your time. And yeah, I will be watching your stuff. Thank you for being here, lovely.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And I will be back next week for another episode for Self-Love-Tember and another guest. Thank you for being here, and I'll speak to you next week. Namaste.